Welcome to another edition of Father Time. I'm Jamie Kaler. I'm joined, as always, by my producer, Mr. Andy Lerner.
How you doing?
Still no kids, right?
Not that I know of.
That's why you're the voice of reason. Our guest today, Andy, I'm so excited. He's an old friend of mine.
We're all excited, Jamie. It's very exciting.
It's pretty exciting stuff. We did the Montreal Comedy Festival New Faces Showcase.
Yep.
Back in the late 1800s,
it was
right about that.
Stagecoaches.
There were stagecoaches up there.
That's what they said. We're going to pick you up. The stagecoach will be out front to bring you to the show.
To the show. Yeah absolutely. But since then, he has been just making a name for himself as a stand-up comic. He's known for being on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, where you were one of the few comics ever to receive a standing ovation. You've done over 100 episodes of Chelsea Lately. You have your own podcast on the Adam Carolla Network called The Koi Pond. A couple of Comedy Central specials, Don't Make Him Angry and Lights Out. And, of course, the huge Netflix original special, which is on now, which is Joe Koy, live from Seattle. Please welcome my guest, Mr. Joe Koy.
Yes. Welcome. Thank you so much.
What a good intro.
Yeah, that was great.
I killed it.
I'll tell you this. You can read.
I'm literate.
I can tell you that much.
I read well.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, most of it I had memorized.
The way you read looked like you were just talking.
That's the key to it, yes.
That's the cool thing about pods.
It's really a gift, isn't it,
it's
Jamie?
A gift. I think.
Well, it's when you watch the news at night and Brian Williams or whoever it is you're like, wow, that guy's, he's just reading a teleprompter.
The worst part is when my son, when he was young, real young, when reading to him in bed was a kind of a cool thing. Mm-hmm. That only lasts for about a year. But
we're in the middle of it.
Yeah. Oh, are you right around that time?
But honestly, like, sometimes I start to read and they get bored because it's like I'm not as good as Sophia the First.
Yeah.
Or the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. It's like they just go, just dad, put on the TV.
Yeah, Let's just put watch it on. Shows. Let's see him act it out, dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're reading it, but it's like that's a table read.
Yeah.
What we
want to
see is the final production.
Yeah. We want to see it in character. We want to see the characters.
We have no imaginations.
Not at all,
not
dad.
At all.
That's horrible. We can actually see the punctuation.
It's terrible.
At the end of every sentence,
so
dad.
So you would read to your son.
Oh, and it was that bad. To the point where you look at your son and he's not asleep. He just has a look of question. Like, are you dumb, dad? What are you? What level reading are you? It was that bad.
And you're like,
I can't read.
And you're like, actually, I make a living. This is my job is to say words.
To say words.
In public.
But just not these
not
words.
These, no,
yeah,
these
not
aren't,
these.
Not these. You should write a children's book.
That's what I always say after I'm done reading. I go, Joe, this book sucks. This book sucks.
Yes.
These words suck.
Yeah.
And this story sucks. And I'm not interested.
And I'm not interested. Well, this is a good segue into you're a father.
Yeah.
You have one son.
One son.
Did you have a kid when we went to Montreal?
Yeah.
He was just born, though.
He was just born.
I'm sorry, but I was single and drunk and didn't listen to anybody talk about their children back then.
No, not at all.
You know when you're single and you're
welcome
like,
welcome to my world.
Yeah, somebody talks about their kids and your brain just goes, doo, and it's just a dull tone.
Yeah, that's boring.
Now I have kids at this old age and they're kind of letting me back into the circle and go, all right, you're okay. You can come in now. But back then, I didn't know. But I think maybe that's where the hardcore motivation came from. You had a child.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I this is my 28th year, so I started in 89.
Doing stand-up.
Yeah. And right when we got to Montreal, that was about my 12th year in stand-up,
13th
year.
Which is crazy to think, right?
Mm-hmm. For us to be on a thing called New Faces.
New Faces.
And I'm like, this face has been around for 14 years.
I was the oldest faced ever on New Faces.
No, I think I was right up there with you.
Oh.
I was 33.
I was 40.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was.
But you looked,
I was like 39 or 40, yeah. And even then, they were like, they almost didn't let me on because they were like, he's kind of old.
Yeah.
And then they'd finally.
We have another segment called Old Faces.
Yeah, Old Faces.
You want to do that one?
Yeah.
No one really goes to that, though.
No one goes
to Old Faces.
I'm 2 years away from that. That's my ARP, the ARP showcase.
It's the senior tour.
I can't wait. I'm so excited to do it. Actually, nowadays, that's kind of I love like an afternoon show.
Yeah.
Like a 4 in the afternoon, and then I can be home. But it's the best.
Yeah. Let's just take a nap.
So you had a son all those ways. Let's go back to you growing up.
Yeah.
You are kind of an Army brat?
Yeah, no, Air Force.
Air Force brat.
Mm-hmm. Air Force is where it all started. That's where the romance began for my mother and father.
I was in the Navy, so I'm familiar with those.
Yeah.
And I've been
this
to,
is what I always
I've been
say,
to
Jamie,
the Philippines.
Jamie, this is what I always say.
Okay.
I say the military was the original Tinder. Original Tinder.
Yeah.
Swipe left. I don't want to go to Vietnam. Swipe left. All right, Philippines, I'll try. I'll try it.
When we went on deployment, all the chiefs would pull their rings off.
Oh,
and they would announce, "Let loose all lines."
Oh, God.
And then they would take off and try to get as much damage as. And I had guys in who came back married from the Philippines and from Thailand and stuff. Yeah,
but here's. You're 40, so when you were going, that was like 80s?
Yeah, 80s.
Okay, my dad is OG with it.
He is OG.
This is before color television.
It's like the heart
this
of darkness.
This is before remote control.
It's apocalypse now.
This was word of mouth. You know what I mean? It was word of mouth. Like they said, hey, there's some beautiful women in Asia.
Yeah.
Well, I just joined the Air Force. Let me see for myself.
It was like,
and that's what it was.
It was like Cook going to Hawaii back in the
basically
1700s or something. And he got over there. He's like, holy shit.
Just imagine if you could put yourself in my dad's mindset at the age of 25 or 24.
And what year was this back in the
60s,
right?
Think about it. Yeah. It's like no one really, because everything's so accessible now. We have the internet. Like my son will never know how just to imagine what it's going to look like when he could see it right away, right when you go, oh man, this is really cool. Well, let me see for myself. Whereas back in the day, you know, when we were kids, someone would tell you about something like, oh my God, have you ever seen surfing?
No, what is the surfing?
Oh
you
my
speak
God.
Of?
Well, there's these waves that they go like 12 feet high
and
these crazy dudes sit on wood and actually ride these.
Wait, what?
Yes.
That's nuts.
Yes.
Man. That's funny.
Whereas now they just see it like the whole I always say this about like when I was a kid when I was so into stand up like I was 10, 11, my friend Leonard had the Richard Pryor tapes and he had all these old cassette tapes and I would listen to them like sneaking in the room and listen to it and then I would use my imagination like oh my God this is because this is before Blockbuster or anything you know what I mean
yeah
so I would just use my imagination like oh my God I wonder what that looked like. That club, what was the scene? It sounds weird, you know what I mean? It sounds hollow in there. It's just like, you know what I mean? I was trying to paint the picture. And then now with my son, anyways, what I'm getting at, it was like, to me, I was like, someday I'll get to a comedy club and I'll see what it looks like on the inside of a comedy club. You know what I mean? It was like an
adventure.
I totally
thought the same thing.
Right?
And then I would, when I finally got to clubs and saw them, I was like, it was like this air of royalty.
Yes,
that has kind of been diminished a little bit because I feel like almost everybody's been on stage, seen so many clips on YouTube. But yeah, back in the day, when you walked into the improv and had the checkerboard thing and you were like,
what?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
This guy just with a microphone.
And it had a smell to it. It had a feel to it.
And he just would talk.
There was this energy in the room. I remember when I first walked into a comedy club, I was 18. I was just like, what is this all about? Yeah. I remember seeing Carlin and my dad sliding, you know, 20s to the usher to keep getting us closer. Because it was at MGM, the original MGM, not the big green one, the original one. They call it Bally's now in Vegas. And, you know, they still had the old style seating with the ushers where you slide them at 20, get closer. And my dad was like, hey, can we get a little closer in 20? And that's how I got to see Carlin. And I got to see that, you know what I mean? And that was all imagination.
As a kid,
it was just like, is this really happening? Whereas my son, it's like it's not there anymore. It's because they see everything on the internet. Like Jackass is like on MTV on a loop. So there's nothing surprising
there's
anymore.
Nothing
there's
surprising.
No surprise element. No. When you go to a comedy club and see some guy like back in the 70s and you see someone like, Michael Richards. You know what I mean? Back in the 70s or the early 80s when he was lighting army men on fire. That was word of mouth when someone saw that in L.A. and then go back to Kansas and go, man, there's this guy. I don't know his name, but he lit these army soldiers on fire. He wore a helmet. He fell over a stool. And it's like, what? Where's this place at? The Comedy Store. I'll be there. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, your son's also growing up in Los Angeles with a father who's he's been backstage at how many crazy shows.
Exactly.
He's kind of numb to the whole thing.
It is kind of numb. My son goes to a school where there's like famous dads, you know what I mean? So it was crazy because I've had all these specials and I'm doing all these big shows. I'm selling out. I'm bringing my son and he's just kind of like, blah, whatever, blah.
He doesn't know how hard it is.
He doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't get it.
But with the Netflix, and by the way, we're talking about his friends are like, my dad is Michael Anthony. That's his name, right? Michael Anthony, the Mexican singer. No, the famous singer.
Oh, I thought you were saying
the one that used to be married to
Anthony Michael
J-Lo's,
Hall. I went
J-Lo's
Anthony Michael
ex-husband.
Hall, but you're saying Michael Anthony.
Even bigger. This is bigger. This is J-Lo's ex-husband.
Mark Anthony.
Mark Anthony. That's his name.
Michael Anthony is the bassist for Van Halen.
Oh, that is. And he got fired. He got fired. Can you believe that?
Mark Anthony's kids are at your...
So Mark Anthony's kid is my son's really good friend. Yeah. And then there's like Karan Butler's daughter. And there's like, you know,
we have that at our nursery school.
Isn't it like, crazy?
That's the chick from Guardians of the Galaxy. What is she doing? Yeah.
And then there's the guy Purcell from Prison Break. Like, that's my son's. Gus is like his son. And that's my son's like best friend. And like, those are their dads. So it's like, every day, my son's like, yeah, and blah, 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 his dad is blah, 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 and you know, he's got the show that's coming out.
And no matter how much money you make.
But never talking about dad.
Not to Mark Anthony level.
Nothing.
Nothing.
But then the special dropped, bro.
And then now he's like.
Bro.
Oh, you're the king.
Bro.
Bro.
Dad, fuck your, if I can curse, your dad sucked now.
We would be
dad is number one
because your special's huge on Netflix. Yeah, so
everyone at the school's watching. Even the teachers watched it because I talked about the teachers. Oh man, there's one kid. Mark Anthony's ex is Miss Universe, and of course he recorded it on Snapchat. Joe Coy's dad is so funny, and now my son's like, that's my dad.
Well, I got to get a Netflix special, Andy. I really need to get one before my kids start high school.
I'm on it.
Make that
got
happen.
To.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm making a call right
Go
now.
Go back to your, because obviously you knew early you were going to be a stand-up.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It sounds like you knew right out of the shoot.
Oh, I was signing phone books all
How,
day, every
when
day.
When did you, started in Washington, didn't you?
No, I started in Vegas.
But you started, did you grow up as a kid in Washington?
I grew up in Washington, most depressing time of my life, yeah.
Really?
How
old?
Gemma, how depressing was Washington?
Oh, man.
Yeah, my sister's here.
Gemma,
the
Joe,
worst,
sister's here.
The worst time ever
Are you
us.
Older than Joe?
A year
older, so you guys were thick as thieves as kids, and you were stuck in Washington.
Hated life.
Tacoma?
We both hated life. We were
Listen,
very depressed.
I'm from Hooksett, New Hampshire. I felt the same way. I begged my parents. I was like, "Let's get out of here."
Well, you got to think Tacoma. Okay, it's one thing to say I'm from Seattle because Seattle is very beautiful.
Seattle's cool.
You had you know you got Microsoft, you got the Sonics, you got the Seahawks. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of Boeing. So a lot of people that lived in Seattle lived a good life during the 80s. We're from the military, so they just dumped all these bases in Tacoma, which is 45 minutes south of Seattle.
Well, so in case the jet crashes, it won't really hit civilization.
No, it won't hit civilization at all. People that actually mean...
And if somebody attacks the base, it won't really affect the...
It doesn't affect Seattle.
Affects,
the Sonics game still plays
they're
that day.
They're still playing that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Are you kidding me? Tacoma's gone, but the Sonics play at 10.
They might have a moment of silence before the game.
Now,
that's
maybe.
There's some tickets available.
You might have some tickets available. That's true.
You might get a 2-for-1 on hot dogs.
I've been to Tacoma. I shot something in Tacoma. And yeah, I was like, wow, this is... picturesque.
Well, if you were there in the 80s, it was worse than
that.
It
was worse.
It was just, there was no money.
It was worse than picturesque.
Wait, isn't that, was that Cobain and those guys, or was that Spokane?
No, that was Seattle. Something. Yeah.
So you were there as little kids, and that was horrible. But you were military, so did your father get stationed somewhere else?
No. That was where he retired.
Oh, he retired.
He retired in Tacoma, and then of course immediately mom and dad divorced, and then it was all.
I think that's part of the retirement. Yeah, and so you went with your mom to Vegas.
No, we lived in we graduated in Tacoma,
and then
we moved to Vegas right when we graduated. Like literally the day after we graduated, we all loaded up this van with my mom's new boyfriend. She only met him. What, 6 months, 7 months?
He had a van, though, right?
He had a cool van, yeah. Bro. He had a Ford Astro,
she
bro.
She was thinking, how do I get to Vegas?
Bro.
He's got a van.
First of all, I do a lot of jokes on my mom. My mom was really fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when my dad and her split, I mean, my mom was always the backbone. She worked her ass off. She was basically the mom and the dad and the family. It was just a lot of stress. You know what I mean? No money. And then all of a sudden, her mom has cancer, so she had to go to Vegas. And she left right away because the doctor was like, oh, she's not going to live longer than blah, 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 a couple months.
Right.
And my grandmother ended up living for 6 more years. I'm like, Doc, I thought you said 6 months. but my mom up and left. And then
that's really
he's a doctor, not a math major.
Listen, I need a better time estimate.
Yeah, I mean, come on, bro. You said six months.
6 months.
Man.
I got stuff to do.
Come on, bro.
6 years for this bullshit.
But she met this guy. His name was Fred, and he was in the Army. And
she liked the military.
She guys. Just, yeah, she loves
the
man in the uniform.
She liked the uniform.
Yeah, he's handsome in that uniform. There. And then all of a sudden she left, but they hit it off really well. And she left, and my sister and I stayed with Fred, and then we packed that van up and moved to Vegas with him. And then he married my mom, and he's been the best thing to ever happen to our lives, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And he's been with us for how long? He's 30 years now with my mom.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. 30
Are you still in
years.
Touch with your dad at all?
Yeah. My dad is good. I mean, my dad came back into my life like after high school, like, you know what I mean?
That's cool.
He hit that wall at like 30 something. He was just like, I think I need to be single again or something. I don't know what it was, but
I get it.
Yeah. I mean, if you really knew the history of my family, then you'd be like when I got older, I was like, oh, I get it, Dad. I fucking get it. Like,
so funny.
I would have left too. Because here's the thing. Yeah. My mom already had two kids. Yeah. So
oh,
she, yeah, she had my sister Rowena and Robert, and
oh,
Robert was 8, and my sister was Rowena was 4.
Okay,
and then my other sister came into my life, Gemma, and we got, you know, we adopted Gemma, but she was like 10 when we adopted you, and you came into the States at like 13. Oh, we adopted you at 8, and then
so he basically came back from a
well,
tour
just
in
imagine,
the
yeah,
with
and
a
imagine
family.
Marrying a woman,
sure.
And then all of a sudden, oh, I have luggage. You know what I mean? I have all these kids. You win. You know what I mean?
But that's on him. He should.
No. But don't get me wrong.
He didn't know the kids were there.
No, he did. He did. Okay. And I'm not taking anything away from my dad. But I'm just saying, like, when he got it, when he married my mom, he knew that she had kids, and he loves my brother Robert. He loves Rowena to this day. Like, he's so close to all of it. He spoils Gemma. It's like, just imagine that time, because like when I was 30. And I just dated this chick, and then all of a sudden I'm married to her, and she's got an 8-year-old boy. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be gone too.
Dude, I got married at 48.
Uh-huh.
And now I have 47, and now I have two kids under the age of 4. But I got it all out of my system. That's what I totally imagined.
But imagine they weren't your kids.
Yeah.
Another man's kids.
I guess. And especially as a younger guy to be, yeah, I get it. I totally
get it. And not only that, see, this is the time now. You're 48 now in this time. 2000
yeah.
What? I don't even know what that was. 2014?
Yeah, it's pretty close to that.
2014. Everything's different now. We're talking about the 70s,
it's
man.
Crazy, dude.
1971. 1969, to be exact.
Yeah.
On the cusp of all this racial.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And now here's my dad, you know, with this Asian woman with these two full-on Asian kids, you know what I mean, with a, you know, with last name Herbert. Are you kidding me? It doesn't get any more racist than Herbert.
My father's first name is Herbert.
I knew
your last name's Herbert, and my brother's name's Herbert.
Yeah,
and that name is gone as
yeah.
a first name. It's
yeah.
over.
I love that name. I love it. Growing up through high school, I went by Herbert. When I started stand-up, I was going up as Herbert. I had no problem with the name. I changed my name to Joe Coy because every time I go up and do these open mics, it was always 5-10 minutes on my fucking name.
Yeah.
It was like the MC. You know, these MCs don't have any. They don't have material. It's like,
no.
We're going to try and find funny anywhere. Oh, his name's Herbert? Oh, I got this. I'm going to run with this for 15 minutes. And it was just like, enough.
That's really
so
funny.
And Joe Coy is actually my nickname. It's my aunt. My Auntie Evelyn is the one that gave me Joe Coy. And that's who raised me, basically. It's like my Auntie Evelyn, my Auntie Lynn, my Auntie Belle, my mom. You know, I was raised by Filipino women.
Were you, were you treated differently? I mean, it was the 70s.
Yeah, I was treated like royalty. Are you kidding me? I had hazel eyes. Half Asian. I'm being serious.
But in Washington, were the other kids, because you
Oh, the other
up.
Kids had no idea who I was.
They couldn't put
they
their
couldn't
finger on
it. They couldn't even put their
finger
on it.
Yeah.
It was a weird time, man. I always try to explain. I always want to like get it in a joke somehow. But it's just, it's hard because I can't get these kids to think the way it is now. Like,
right.
There was no such thing as America's Best Dance Crew and the winner is an all Asian team. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
As even though we're doing like a stereotype right now,
right.
That is real in 1982.
Dude, you 1983. Could, you would go into a bookstore and there would be a row of books like the best Polish jokes,
yes.
The best Filipino jokes,
yes.
Nowadays, you'd be like, "What?
What?"
It would be so racist. But back then, we'd all, my father would tell Polish jokes and stuff, and I'd be like,
"Rice
ah,
is
that's so funny."
Rice.
I saw Jerry Lewis about 15 years ago in Vegas. He was doing his act from the war. It was all Japs this and Japs that. I was I was stunned.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Rickles today, I don't think you could get away with it almost to a point where they would just go, yeah, that's racist and mean.
Yeah. But, well, Rickles could do it, but I don't know if anybody else.
It's funny when
we
use the word racist. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like no one really knows the definition of racist or what racism really is.
Right.
When a particular race oppresses another race by the use, you know what I mean?
Right.
By their economical status or whatever they are. That's racism.
Yeah, it's not just
you're not racist. You know, you're prejudiced.
That's the word.
That's the word, but no one says that.
That is such a good...
Because you know why they don't use that? Because we're not prejudiced. I'm not prejudiced. My stepdad is not prejudiced. Rice's rice came from him. He's the one that said it. That's my stepdad. Funny. He's from West Virginia.
That's right.
The Appalachian Mountains, man. He joined the military to be in Vietnam because he didn't want to take a fucking cold shower in the mountain anymore. That's what he said to me.
I don't blame him.
He got shot. No, his first Purple Heart was his platoon got hit by a bomb, and he was hit by shrapnel. Whole body fucked up, man. Just pieces of metal all in his body. 17. He wasn't even supposed to be there.
That's crazy.
They took all the damn metal out. They gave him his Purple Heart and his Bronze Star, and they said, kid, you can go home now. You served your time. Thank you. And he goes, no, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go back to West Virginia.
Right.
I don't want to go in the coal mines.
Yeah.
Where all my uncles died at 40. That's what he said.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go back. Put me back in. They put him back in. He got shot by a sniper. Entry wound the size of a quarter in the back of his shoulder right here. Whole shoulder, the collarbone, all that, fucking gone. Became a mailman after he retired. He stayed in the military until he was, 42, Gemma?
Which is hard 22? To do because normally when you're injured, they kind of
push
you.
He doesn't have a fucking arm.
He's got no
Bro,
arm.
Bro, when he stands, it falls over like this. It falls over. Then he became a mailman.
How did he carry mail?
Then he became a mailman for another 20 years. How did he become a mailman? Because he's a fucking man. That's how he became a mailman. He's a fucking man. He's
At
not
the
a,
interview, they were like, you only have one arm. Fuck you.
That's exactly what he said.
Shit.
That's exactly what he said.
Tough cat. He's a
no,
tough...
No, he's beyond tough.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean?
Dude.
That's why when they were...
Maybe that's why
And he deserves everything. That VA, he deserves all of it.
Well, we
every
talk,
fucking
You know,
penny.
I do a bunch of... Because I'm a former veteran, I do a bunch of VA stuff.
Yeah,
and
man.
The fact that these guys aren't taking care
no,
of is crazy.
No, you better
man.
Take care of that man.
I agree.
He has no shoulder. And he's suffering right now. He's got one lung. He can't... You know, he's in a lot of pain right now. And that dude deserves whatever he wants. But that... He's not prejudiced. You know what I mean?
Right.
He fought for every color. You know what I mean? He said rice is rice. The best man at his wedding. And I hate saying this because everyone always says it. Oh, but my best friends are black. His best man was black
right.
at his wedding. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I know that's stupid to say it, but no. It's like sometimes we just got to like fucking slow down. Like, you know what I mean? Lighten up.
Yeah.
Just live life, man.
Well,
I think people like to just like latch onto something, just say racism and pull that card out so quickly without really knowing the facts about somebody.
Well, as a comic, aren't you dealing with people who are uber sensitive to everything now
yes,
in the audience?
Man, I mean, it we is. Used to go, I did a joke. Oh, and by the way, Rice is Rice was written by my stepdad. I because everyone always quotes Rice is Rice. And it's a joke about, I do it on my special Lights Out where he goes, and it's not even a joke. I didn't write it. He said it. He goes, you know why I married your mom? And he was just joking one day. And I go, why? He goes, because I love Chinese food. And he was just being funny. And I go, she's Filipino, Fred. And he was like, ah, rice is rice. And it was the funniest, so funny. I was dying because the way he delivered it,
right.
You know what I mean? Like a dude from the 70s,
rice
you know what
rice.
I mean? Like rice is rice, bro.
Keep on trucking.
Yeah, man. Rice is good with anything.
Groovy.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean?
That's awesome,
but,
dude.
I don't know. I do this joke now. Well, I did it already. It was on my special. And it's literally about Gemma. And Gemma married her her husband, my brother-in-law, Andre, black. And I do this whole joke about, you know, my mom and my sister and her meeting Andre for the first time and my mom being indirectly racist. This isn't made up. It's real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My mom is old school Filipino woman, and that's how she felt when she saw that Gemma was about to marry a black guy.
She was upset.
Of course. Like,
My father would have flipped. My sister converted to Judaism in the 60s to get married in New York, and my father, who's Irish Catholic, was ballistic.
Yeah, of course.
And I have four sisters, all went to Woodstock, brought home black dudes for Christmas. And they were totally whacked on heroin. And
that's great.
Do you remember on Christmas, the only thing open was a supermarket?
Yes.
So they had obviously that was the only place open, and they showed up blasted, and we all got a Shaw's shopping bag with, I got a colander. My sister got a spatula. It was the only store
that
open.
That is so
And she showed up with this black dude,
funny.
And my father was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But it's because he had so pushed against it, I think they brought them home almost to piss him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Your mom was upset about that.
Yeah.
It is crazy now.
But then I, you know, and I was talking to Dre, and I love Dre because he's so damn smart. And he was just like, man, it's not racist. It's a culture thing. Like, before you pull the racist card, it's pull the culture card first. Yeah. Do that first before you pull the racist card. Racist is just so, like, that's heavy, man. That's a heavy word.
Yeah.
Racist means you're black. Well, I'm going to oppress you because you're black by using my race to do that.
Right.
That's it by definition. But my mom's not a racist. It's a culture thing. In her culture, that's just not how it is.
I get it.
It's different. And now when we introduced Andre into our life and she sees how great a man Andre is, now my mom can't get enough of Andre.
Right.
Now Andre's the angel in the family. And now I'm looking at my mom going, you need to be racist because I'm your son and I'm the angel.
Now you're the angel. Oh.
I'm sorry if I'm getting a little too heavy.
No, that's what it's about. It's about growing up because I grew up the same way and I think it is changing. But now is it changing to the opposite extreme where we're so sensitive? Because here's my thing. We are all different.
Yes.
So when my little girl points at somebody and says, oh, they're different in this way, whether it's a color or a size thing, it's not. She's not saying they're worse.
Yeah.
They're just different, and we are different. We're not all the same.
Yeah.
So when somebody says, oh, something, something, people lose their shit and go, dude, it's not. I'm not saying it out of hate. It's just we're different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Man, it's 2017. Like, I hate saying that, but it's like, it's 2017. Do you really think that there's people like that? There are people out there that really think like that.
They totally do.
Yeah, and I get it. But as a human being, you know what I mean? You can tell when someone is being prejudice or racist, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you could just see somebody just calling out some innocent culture shit, you know?
Right. I got this one,
you know, I got a couple about Andre's the joke with Andre, and it's just like me and Andre were driving to the pod because Andre's on my pod, and he's just looking at me like, I don't understand these people. It's like they want to talk for me. Like, don't talk for me.
Right.
Let Andre talk for Andre. Well, who are you? I don't even know you.
They're kids at Berkeley with protest signs.
Yeah.
They're like, it's not fair what you said to Andre.
But yeah.
He's a person.
Yeah,
he's
speak.
He's an African American dude.
Yeah, he's allowed to.
That's who he is.
He'll be all right.
He's going to survive.
Yeah. Thank you, though.
We used to grow up and it was sticks and stones would break my bones, but names would never hurt me. But nowadays, people are like, no, names are hurtful.
Yeah, names are very hurtful.
They don't hurt me at all. As a redheaded kid, I got pummeled.
To this day, redheads are still
I hate them all.
We all do.
As a race, I would oppress the red race.
The redhead race done. That's what the alcohol's for.
Yeah,
that's what the oppression comes from. It's from the alcohol.
So another one is when I do my mom. It's like everyone always wants to know. Oh yeah, Joe does. He talks about his mom all the time, and it's just that's where he goes for the funny. No, if you listen to my jokes, I'm talking about my life. I don't sit there and go, what would be funny? It's like, no, I try and take very shitty moments in my life and try and make those funny because it's healing for me.
And we all go through it.
We're all going through the same moments. And I do want to tell the story why my sister got kicked out at 17. I do want to talk about my sister leaving at 19. And I want to shine light on it.
Oh, I have sisters like you. You got the boot at 17?
Oh, man, I talked about that on the thing. And it was just like, when I did it, it was just like, I felt like I was touching something really, really deep. Like, I remember when I delivered that joke, and I couldn't wait to do it on the special because I was just like, I knew when I was on the road, I was like, this is a special joke. Not only for me, but I really feel like this is something a lot of women go through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of women leave at 18. It's just like, it's a proven fact. It's just like guys stay at home until they're like 30, and then the girls leave at like 18. They're ready for life at 16. And that's how it was with my two sisters. And Rowena, man, the way she bounced was just epic.
What'd she do?
It was just Oh God, man! It's
just wild.
I mean, when I did the special, it was very funny, and I did it. I made sure to make it very funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're supposed to embellish.
But it wasn't as funny as.
But I don't want to drop. I don't want to drop the actual content that was happening during that time. You really don't want to know the full story, but. It was so fun to watch that special because
You were a little kid when she
when Rowena left. I was 13, so I was my son's age, which I couldn't, like, now that I look at my son, I'm just like, God, that would be an awful thing to see in his eyes right now. You wouldn't want to see what I had to see, like that fight. You know what I mean? And I was just like, damn. When we were watching it. Because we watched the special all together. So Gemma's sitting down and my sister sitting right next to me. And I did that joke about my mom and her getting into the fight and told her to get out of the house. Uh-huh. And when she said Brian, she goes, me and Brian have been saving money. And when we do, I'm fucking out of here, right? But that's just the clean version of what happened that day. Like, you got to know the history of Brian, first of all. All right? And I think you already kind of know where I'm getting at with that.
Well, it's Washington.
But exactly.
Yeah, we know Brian.
Okay, but just imagine that time and imagine who Brian is and the history of my mom. And just when I hit that joke and that punchline, when I finally hit that punchline and my sister high-fived me and showed me a text message, she goes, I text Brian and told him about this. And it touched me. And I was
Is Brian out of the picture?
Oh, yeah. But I mean... Yeah.
But they still,
They're still friends. Right. You know what I mean? But I mean,
At 15, my sister got pregnant.
Yeah.
At 16, she's like, I'm an adult. I'll move out and get married. So at 16, she got married to her 18-year-old boyfriend. And sure enough, like my father, and this is in the 70s, my father's ballistic.
Of course.
Lost soul. And I'm like 9 at the time. And she moves out 2 years later. She's, of course, back home. There's a kidnapping event that we don't. Again, we won't go into details and stuff. And then it goes on from there. And I have three other sisters, and it's the same story. Girls leave early, but they would seem to come home with kids in tow. Back in my – that's my history.
Not my two sisters.
They'd be gone, and then all of a sudden 3 years later, it's like, hey, you need to move bedrooms. Your sister's coming back, and we need –
And she's got a family.
We need a room for a kid. My childhood.
My sisters were gangsters, man. Gemma took off and just saw the world for like – 5-6 years before I even saw her again.
Yeah. She's like, almost, yeah.
We couldn't come back, though. The mom that we have, we couldn't.
Yeah. My mom. My mom.
Locks got changed.
Well, I said that on the special, too, though. Yeah. My mom was like, when my mom kicked us out, she was like, you're dead to me.
Is that right?
Bro.
I
wish I was joking,
I wish I had my wife would never do that. I fear my, because my wife would.
Oh, my mom didn't talk to Gemma for almost 25 years.
That's not cool.
Of course not.
That's not cool. My mother was the opposite.
Comedy comes from pain, Jamie.
My mother was like, you can't help who you love and never hold a grudge. Those were her things. She,
my mom's like, fuck everyone
I'll kill
you love.
Everybody.
And grudges till we die. The only time I'm happy is when you're dead. Then I will cry laughing.
You should have brought her.
Because I'm happy.
All right. So let's, you go to Vegas.
Yeah.
You like immediately stand up. You're gone.
No. My sister Rowena moved to Vegas.
Okay.
And then, of course, Rowena and my mom were off and on, you know what I mean? They'd become friends for a year, and then all of a sudden they'd hate each other for 4, and then friends for a year, and then hate each other for another 3. But during that time, I wish I was making this up.
This one person came out of you. You can't find it to go like, it's okay, whatever. We're just going to, you
but,
can't.
But Jamie, like I said, it's a culture thing.
I guess. Is
that it
the
really
Filipino
is a culture thing. It is a Filipino culture,
If you
man.
Don't do what you're told, you're dead to
if
me.
If you don't listen to your mom. I do this joke about being nurses, man, and it is so true. Like, there's a reason why there's so many Filipino nurses. It's not by choice. These kids don't wake up one day at like the age of 7 going, I want to be a nurse. It's forced upon them.
Sure.
It's like you're talking about, you know, these people that live in a third world country that speak great English. They're taught English at birth. It's their language is actually a second language to them. English is the first language because they know that you're going to get into some type of health industry or some type of customer service industry, and you need to speak English because that's where the money's at. And you're going to go to these other countries. You're going to bring the money back to us. That's how we're going to survive. And that's how the Philippines is. And that's how it is. It's a culture thing.
Yeah.
And you know, when you have a kid or three kids. it was back to back to back with my mom that none of them wanted to do what my mom wanted to say.
Right.
You're disrespecting me and my culture and get out of my life.
Was she happy that you became a comic?
No.
From day one, she was hated it.
She hated it.
She must love it now.
Gemma and I, we sit and have debates.
I mean, you can't get more successful at what you're doing for your mother to go like,
dude,
actually,
I bought cars, I bought everything.
I like this car, but I would rather you.
I still wish, Joseph, you were a nurse telling jokes at the ER.
To help people.
To help people, physically and emotionally.
But thank you for the car.
But thank you for the car. It's nice. It smells good. Is that leather?
So were you like sneaking out and she's like, I'll lock the door if you go out?
No, she knew I was doing it, but she didn't tell anybody. Like,
she was so ashamed.
Oh, so ashamed. She had more pride in telling everybody my part time job. Like, oh, this is Joseph. He works at Boot Locker.
Does he do anything? Nothing.
Nothing else. Just sell shoes. Ask him about tennis shoes. He'll tell you everything. What those are. Rubber shoes. Jordans. He'll tell you about Jordans.
My father was like that. He was so angry when I got out of the Navy to become an actor. He was livid. Oh, yeah. But my mother could not have been more supportive.
Yeah.
She was like, do whatever you feel. But she'd already gone through five other kids. So by the time I came along, she was like, look, just survive.
Yeah, just.
Just if you can live.
Feed yourself.
Feed yourself, live, everything else will be, it'll be okay.
Did you go into the Navy because you wanted to make your family happy? You knew
they
that
paid
that
for college. I was ROTC.
That's right.
So I applied out of high school
and I got
a scholarship. That
was big in the 80s.
Ugh, I wanted to go to UNH, get high, and play soccer. And my father was like, we don't have any money. Yeah. So if you want to go to college, ROTC is your only chance. So I applied, got a scholarship, and then. But I had a great time. I loved being in. But when I got out, my father was so pissed.
Yeah.
Pissed.
Because now you got to pay for a hospital. Yeah. Hospital insurance.
Oh,
you
when
pay
I told
for...
him I was getting out, he was like, all right, we'll open up the back bedroom so you can come home. And I was like, I'd kill myself before I came back into that house. You and Sam would never, ever live with you again. So it all kind of goes well. Let's get to you having a child.
Yeah.
This is father time, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You have a child. You get married.
Got married, but...
You were young.
Yeah. No, I was 32?
I guess.
32?
That's still funny. That still feels young to me. But you were kind of established. Were you working steadily at the time?
I was broke.
Broke ass.
So broke, bro. Had a broken taillight where you can actually reach into the trunk. Because I hit... Here's another Asian stereotype. Sure. Bad drivers, right?
Yeah.
That's always the stereotype. Uh-huh. My insurance is so bad because I've hit everything on the planet, from a tree to a cop in pursuit to a Brinks armored truck.
That must have been. Were they like, did you just
I hit everything. I've hit everything. I've been in so many accidents, and it's just, I'm the worst.
Do you have a driver now? You should just get a driver.
Yeah, I got a driver.
I want a driver. Yeah. I want a driver.
Yeah, we got one called Marlon. He picks us up and takes us to the airport. He's fantastic. And I always say, don't ever come casual. You put on that suit. I don't care how hot
I want
it
you
is.
To wear the hat while you drive.
Wear the suit, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, wear the hat. And I want a big hat. Top hat. And
so you had a broke-ass car.
Broke-ass car.
And some girl was like, oh, that's the guy I want. That's the guy I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Yeah, basically. And working at Borders Books. Remember that place? Mm-hmm. Before it became an online bookstore? They actually had freestanding
I think
there's buildings.
Still one of them. There's a historic site.
Yeah. There's no books in
there's
it.
There's no books it's just in shelves it. It's a museum now.
Yeah, it's a museum. And then downstairs was Borders Books. Upstairs was Nordstrom Rack. And it was in the same mall right by LAX. The promenade right by LAX. It's right there off the side of the freeway. I worked there.
Hughes or whatever.
Howard Hughes. That's what it's called. So it was Borders Books was downstairs. Nordstrom Rack was upstairs. And then every Friday and Saturday, I was on a yacht that was in the Marina Del Rey. And they would hire these yacht, you know, people would do private parties on a yacht. And they would go out, you know, for like 30 minutes and then come back and dock. You know what I mean?
It was call
the
those worst. Booze cruises.
I thought it was a sex. Were you a sex slave of some sort? Sex slave?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was like a booze cruise. Oh, okay. But anyways, I was the busboy.
Okay.
I made the tables, rolled the silverware, and broke down the tables. And I just remember going, come on. Like, I remember while they're partying, I was cleaning as fast as I could, just grabbing as much crap as I can because I tried to make the 10 o'clock show at the Laugh Factory.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because Jamie was repping me at that time. So I always had a spot.
Right.
So I was just like, I didn't give it. Let's hurry up. Like, let's go. We're about to dock. Let's give me all the dishes. And I was just cleaning all these dishes. And then I would just race, try and get there before 10. And then and go up on stage. I'd either MC or be the first comic up wearing a damn apron or wearing a waiter's outfit on stage. But I didn't care, man. I remember one time it was in the winter. And all I had was my white shirt button up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my black pants had ketchup, all kinds of shit on it. And a parka, and I wore the damn parka on stage because I didn't want anyone to know that I was a waiter.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I wore the damn. It's packed. It's a packed Saturday night.
You're in a
and
parka.
Here I am with a damn black parka on. It's just thick coat.
People must have thought it was your trademark. That's the parka guy.
Hey, that's parka, dude. That's Joe Parka. Cool.
So did you meet your wife while you were performing?
No, I met her. I don't know. I met her somewhere.
You met her, and you had so it doesn't matter. You had a kid.
Yeah, we had a kid. Things didn't go good. You know, I think I was. You know, that's
too young.
And
you were chasing a career.
I was chasing a dream, basically.
That's what happened to me too. And every girl I'd see, it would fall apart invariably. And had we had a child, I would have been in the same boat of like, look, this is I'm trying to get to this place.
Yeah, and it sucked because I took on my dad's habits.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like right when we divorced, which was right away. We were only married for about a year. And then right away, I was becoming my dad. I was on the road, not calling, didn't care. You know what I mean? Oh, she's watching him.
I get it.
Let me call real quick. Is he good?
I totally get it, man.
And I thought that's how life was supposed to be.
Well, plus you're on the road, and you know how the road is. It's like you're in a bubble and you're lost, and all of a sudden people are trying to call you, but it's the she's like, oh, we're going to call during bath time. I'm actually on stage during bath time.
Yeah.
It's not kind of working.
No.
And all of a sudden days go by.
And I wasn't really feeling it. I wasn't like there was no feelings because that's how I was raised.
Yeah.
So it was like I was a kid, my dad was gone.
It's heavy.
You know, and I get a phone call occasionally, maybe for my birthday, whatever. Every 4 months he'd call. And I thought that's how you're supposed to be. As long as I just give her money, we're good. If I go over and shake his hand and give him some Legos on a Saturday, I'm good.
That's old school. That's so old school.
Yeah, it was bad.
That's
it
my
was
parents
really bad.
Too.
And then I started making money, which was right around, I got this deal. Oh, I did the Tonight Show.
That's right.
Did the Tonight Show, and my career just, it was like overnight. Like,
yeah.
Jay Leno.
Those were back
life.
In the days when those did. I don't think they do it anymore, but back in the day, you had the one set. The next day, you were selling out shows.
Yeah, it was crazy. It really was. I got a deal. I was like the face of like this telephone company. Mm-hmm. It was called Amp Mobile at the time, and I was getting all these big paying gigs. Like,
were you still together as a family at the time?
I was already divorced.
You were divorced. Was there co-custody or were you?
The way we divorced, we settled like as friends, and I always told her I'm going to be there. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Plus, I was broke. Like, how much could you get from me?
Right.
It's like I work at Borders. And it's like, I'll give you some books, extra books. Is that what you want?
Were you working at Borders when you were on the Tonight Show?
Yeah, on the Tonight Show, I was working at Nordstrom Rack. I remember at Borders Books too. And I remember when I got off stage, I didn't know how many people watched the Tonight Show.
A lot of people, especially
I didn't know it was that many.
The numbers were huge then.
Huge.
Yeah.
And of course, I was on the show with Alanis Morissette and Joaquin Phoenix when he was doing Walking the, what was it called?
Walk the Line.
Yeah, he was huge.
Huge.
And the next day, I was at Nordstrom Rack, and I was in the shoe department where they give you the right shoe, and I had to go back and get the left shoe.
And you had just been on the Tonight Show the night before.
Just did the Tonight Show, and every other woman was just like, oh, my God, you're on the Tonight Show.
Isn't that crazy?
I go, yeah, that was me. You were so funny. Can I get this in a size 8?
Dude!
And just brought me back to reality. I hated my life.
I have the exact same.
I remember walking back there just throwing the shoe, just like, is this really happening? Like, this is not fair.
I had done a Friends episode, and I was at the bar, and it was in repeats over my head on the TV. And
oh,
the guy
that's
went
great.
To order, and he goes, hey, you're on Friends. And I go, I am on Friends. And he goes, great, can I get a vodka tonic, a Jack and Coke?
Oh, you were working at the
working
bar?
I was behind the bar. It was on over my head, and I was like, and the other bartender goes, welcome back to reality.
Oh,
and I go, God
so fast.
Damn it, man. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
It wasn't until like a while, once I started making money, then I was kind of like, I think I don't work here anymore. But it's scary to give up that job because you honestly don't know how long this is going to go.
I didn't know. I was like, no, I got to keep this. But
so
then I started making money, and then I shouldn't just say the money, but I remember she sent me this videotape, and I still have, not video, but like a CD-ROM, whatever it was at that time. And she sent me this video of his preschool, and I just started crying.
Of course.
And I was just like, whoa, life just went fast forward. Like, this sucks. I just missed all of that.
Yeah.
I go, that can't happen anymore. And I called her and I got to move you back down. Because she went to Bakersfield to be with her family.
Yeah, of course.
Because the family was helping her. And I was like,
and you were just mailing checks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not cool. And I'm like, you got to come back. I'll pay for everything. U-Haul, rent, whatever. I got it. Let's please. I need to get back. And then that's like right when he hit five, he was like, I was dad.
Right.
To where he was like, get the fuck away from me, dad. Go on the road.
You're trying to make up for the last couple of years.
Yeah. I started making more money, and then, you know, now I do these big trips with the nephews, because then that was a big thing to me too, because my mom hated everybody.
Right.
So, you know, you can't associate with your cousins because I don't like your uncles, and it was that bad. So, you know, Gemini
maybe
only
know
each other.
Maybe your mom's the problem. Maybe your mom is the...
She's a good woman.
She's a good
like
woman.
Like I said,
but it's not live and let
thing,
live.
Man.
She,
like, yeah.
She goes, listen to me or you're
or
out.
Forget it. Yeah, there's, you know, and... Yo, God
like
bless her heart.
Your,
God bless
like
her heart. She raised good kids, man.
Obviously, you know what I mean? Turned out well.
Yeah, and you know, and we also learn from that. You know what I mean?
But
she
you're not that way with
teach
your
us
son.
What not to do.
I'm going to guess you're totally the opposite.
Of
with
course.
Your son. You're like, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But maybe we should be more of like, hey, you know, get your shit together or you are out.
But then again, I do get where my mom's coming from. It's like,
absolutely.
I get it. It's like, imagine coming from living with, you know, dirt poor, and right. Then now your kid wants to be a comedian? Are you out of your fucking mind? Have you ever been homeless before? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you even know what poverty looks like? Like,
yeah.
No, you can't be a comedian. I'm not going to let my son be a comedian.
That's funny.
So I get it. But like now I see it. Like I see my son. I'm just like, I'm paying for a tutor. I'm paying for all this stuff. It's like, you got to bring your grades up, Joe. I mean, you got to go to college. And I'm like, but in my head, I'm like, I didn't go to college. And I'm doing great.
You're doing.
I put money away for my son's college, and I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, well, do I push college on him? Like, I don't get it. Like,
do you think he's gonna go?
I don't know, man. He's very.
How old is he now?
Talented.
He's 13 or is he 14?
He's 14.
14
just
years old.
14, but he is very talented. It's just like, I don't think he has. Like, I knew at 13, 14 that I was gonna be a comedian. I just knew it. Like,
yeah.
I was, you know, I was studying it, man. I was watching stand up nonstop. And it's just like, I knew, I always told myself, well, when I get out of high school, I'm going right to the comedy clubs. But I don't see that with my son yet. I'm just like, God, what is it with my son yet? Like, but I know he has talent. He's very funny. He's got a voice on him. The boy can sing. You know what I mean? He's got style. He's got all, he's got the looks, but I don't think he knows yet. I don't think he doesn't
like
have
kids
the inside
today
drive
aren't as driven. They're not as driven.
Nah. But everything's accessible.
Everything's so easy and accessible that you don't have to.
No.
Like you couldn't, you were like trying to get out of where you're living. He's like living a beautiful, comfortable life.
Oh, he's got it good.
So he's like, wait, why would I go anywhere from here? What was it like the first couple times when you finally brought them back down from Bakersfield and then he stayed with you?
Oh, I loved it. I got to see him pee
was
for the
crazy?
First time
did
on his
you
own.
Kind of have a room? You like the first time you brought him in, you're like, all right, this is my apartment,
yeah.
House, and this is going to be your room.
Yeah. Well, you know, crazy. I was suffering from a severe case of sleep apnea at that time too, so it sucked. I missed a lot of father time during that time because it was like it was so bad that it was almost like I had narcolepsy. I would just fall asleep on the dime. And I was missing a lot of that. It totally sucked.
Did you
man.
Do the machine on your face?
Now I have the machine. It's like,
do you
God,
sleep
I remember.
Every night with it?
Every night. Yeah, I have to.
You have to.
Die.
Really?
It's that bad. Yeah.
It's like a deviated septum or something that goes.
It's beyond that.
They don't even know what caused
no,
it.
No, even the doctor was like, dude, you sleep like a 500 pound man, like an obese man. Like you should be dead.
I mean, I'm sorry to laugh at that, but that's really.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Do you,
yeah. And he doesn't understand it. He goes, I just don't understand why. Because, like, I'm. My weight is right.
No, you're normal.
I'm below weight. He doesn't understand. He goes. You're just dumb.
Will you start to sleep and then your body?
You're just a dumb sleeper.
You're like, I don't know how to sleep.
Yeah.
Do you start
close
to sleep?
Eyes die?
Do you like and wake
oh,
up?
Like, oh yeah. I can't even take a nap.
I've had that once in a blue moon where I'm on, like, I don't sleep on my back, but if I ever do, I'm like,
yeah.
Up.
That's sleep apnea. That's called dying. Yeah. That's a ghost choking you.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That would be horrible.
Oh, it's horrible. Mine's the worst. I had the worst. The worst case. I couldn't even drive him places without falling asleep. I remember I had him in the car seat one time, and I was driving to an audition, and I rear-ended somebody with him in the back seat. And I was just like, God. It wasn't even that fast because, you know, bumper to bumper on the freeway.
Is that why your sister came? Did she drive you today?
No, I'm good now. I've been on the machine for almost... No, yeah, of course.
You're a good driver?
Yeah, but no, I just the sleep apnea is gone. I got the machine now. But yeah, it was just, I missed a lot because of that damn sleep apnea too.
That's crazy, man.
But man, I made up for it fast, dude. I got to see him walk. I got to see him pee for the first time on his own. It happened at my place. That made me so happy. I remember like hearing him get up out of the bed and then walk to the bathroom, and I just spied on him, and then he pulled his pull-ups down and peed. That was a great moment.
So you kind of miss diapers.
I kind of miss diapers. I missed a lot of that stuff.
This morning, about an hour ago, I changed her, and she fights it. My 2-year-old is like, no! And I go, why would you want to sit in your filth? And she's like in horrible poopy, and she's like punching me, trying to keep the diaper on. This is coming off. And then the shit gets everywhere. Yeah, you missed that.
That's delightful, Jamie. And a reminder why I'm still single.
Yeah. Well, or just do what he did and just skip those few years.
Don't do that.
Adopt your own child at 5 years old.
Don't ever do that. Not a good time.
Do you want to have more kids?
Course.
And so you're getting married soon.
I got a fiance, Amy, but I've known Amy a long, long time. So it's kind of cool.
Was she in with him or was that later?
She knew Joe when he was like 3-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been with her for a long time. And
I've been with her off and on for a long time.
Is that his other mom?
No, we shouldn't say that. He's
That must have been odd to go like, hey, this is she's
no, no, gonna, no, no, because be we've been off and on. I've dated other girls during this time. You know what I mean? I was like like we said earlier, I was on the road and I was being that guy, and it was stupid. But now I'm at that age where I'm just like, this girl really appreciated me when I had fucked up teeth. You know what I mean? She liked me before the money teeth.
What else do you need to know?
Before I had the porcelain in my mouth. She liked me when I had cavities.
That's really funny.
She liked me when I was 200 pounds and had sleep apnea.
You would go on the road and then come home and go, hey, I'm back in town for a weekend.
Yeah, but I mean, we were both kind of stupid like that. But, you know, I think now it's a good time. It's a good time, man. You know,
it is great because it's so funny because I hadn't seen you in a long time and I ran into you at the restaurant. You were with your son.
Yeah.
Who looks like a grown man at this point. I was like, hey.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know you had a son. You're like, this is my son.
Yeah.
Because I think over the years when you were on the road, it wasn't a big part of it until then all of a sudden he kind of came back into your life. And then,
yeah. No, I mean, I talked about him.
Does he live, he lives full time with you now?
No. His mommy, yeah, but I moved his mommy right by me. So literally walking distance.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. And it's beautiful.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's great.
Does she have a new family now?
She's got a great boyfriend. His name is Gino. He's like an ex skateboarder.
That's cool.
You know, he's an artist. Oh, dude, it's the best. This is what I don't understand about people that get divorced. It's like, okay, yeah, you guys had it bad. You know what I mean? You hate each other. Whatever it is that he did or whatever it is that she did, whatever. It's done. You're divorced.
But they can't, dude.
It's done.
I know. I think the same thing. And go, you created a child together. Can't
just be
you
friends.
At least be?
You can't
but they
be,
can't.
Can't be civil
Some people
for
can't.
The kid. For the rest of your life, you want to destroy that human being. It's dumb. It's not even healthy. It's not even fun. Why is that fun? How is that fun?
It's not fun.
Imagine waking up every day going, how can I fuck his life up?
It's a strong emotion, dude.
I know, but sometimes you just got to look at the kid and go, is that worth it? Is it worth scarring this kid mentally? Saying negative shit about his dad?
How do you fix it, though? How do you change that?
Just fucking, it's done.
People can't.
You fixed it by getting a divorce.
People can't.
And it's done.
They can't.
I know, but you got to, my mom and dad just made up and they're about to die.
That's why they did it.
That's why they did
it. Listen, just in case I don't know what heaven's like, but what if they put us back together?
Oh, God. We
should
have sucked in
heaven. We should resolve some issues before we, and all of a sudden you get up there and go, wait, I'm with her? Well, you guys were married.
God. Yeah, there's a whole new divorce team up here.
God damn it.
Yeah.
There's a reason when somebody gets killed, the first person they look at is the spouse.
Oh, yeah.
Murder.
Husband.
Yeah, husband.
Wife, immediately.
Can we call the husband who's in Puerto Rico right now?
You mean this person that you love the most? It's a fine
Isn't
line.
Isn't that crazy?
Dude. It's a crazy
But
line.
I didn't want to be my mom and dad. That's it. I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to spend the rest of my life just constantly fighting, being dropped off somewhere or, you know, not calling. Just, it's stupid, dude.
It's stupid.
So dumb. Gino's so cool. I love Gino.
It's so funny.
Such a cool boyfriend.
So many of the people I talk to grew up in the exact same format of like they were latchkey kids or split couples and stuff. Yeah. And then they kind of come out and, you know, some people do repeat it and some people actually go, oh, that's bullshit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mother was great about, like, no grudges. So I went through a phase where I was probably angry at stuff, and then now I'm kind of like, dude, we're all going to be dead in nuclear war in the next couple of years anyway.
Yeah,
let's just ride the end.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a new disease coming. We're all going to die of the same disease.
I think the plague's coming back.
It's coming back. It's coming back strong. God, it's going to be so big. It's going to start in the valley for sure.
All right. Well, listen. I knew I'd only have to say one or two sentences, and he would just go right. That's how it. I honestly didn't even need to be here for this. He could have phoned it in for me.
Yeah, you could have just wrote it down, and I could have read it.
Couple questions that I would ask you to end this thing on. What is a trait that you hope your son gets from you?
Hustle.
You dude, you're the king of hustle.
No, man. And that.
No,
word
yes,
is...
man. You are the king. I mean, I talk about you all the time. To go, dude. You've worked so hard to get where you are.
Thank you.
And people see Gaffigan or you and they go, oh man, I want to sell out theaters and stuff. And the truth is, it's 25 years in the making.
Yeah.
Every day, like you talked about, we talked about earlier, it's like, I'm like, oh, I got the two kids. I don't want to post every, but people do it. It's all social media. Yeah. And you've done nothing but hustle your entire career.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you said that, because when I was driving my son to school, and I told him, I go, I just want you to know, I was handing out postcards in Mexico. and my son goes, really?
Yeah.
Because even in his head, he's like, you don't need to do that anymore. It's like, well, no, Joe, you still kind of do. I don't want you to think I was standing in front of a building going, hey, check me out. Hey, read all about it. You know what I mean? It wasn't that. But I had them.
You're
I
on a
had
street
a stack.
Corner in Mexico City. Yeah. Going, I got a gig. Yeah, you guys should come see. Yeah. But you did do that, and used to do that in your shows, on your early
I
shows.
I did it in Montreal.
You did do it in Montreal.
I had a stack of cards and this is, man, this is way back, man. I mean, there were times, God, let's go back to when I would go to Kinko's and print stuff and cut them myself. You know,
here's a little bit of the difference, though. I will tell you, I think this generation, I talked to my other buddy, and back in the day, we used to do, we worked on our craft 90% of the time and then publicity 10% of the time.
Yeah.
I think kids today, there is no talent, no craft.
Yeah.
But they are social media mavens to create a fan base around nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas
but then those get destroyed, though. But those get destroyed.
Eventually get destroyed.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean,
to hold it together, if you call somebody to come see your show, they have to see that Netflix special and go, actually, he's right. That was a really, really good special.
Thank you, man.
But you're selling something that's a great product. Other people I see are, hey, watch this video and vote for it. And I'm like, A, it's a piece of shit. And B, I'm not voting for that. Are you insane? No.
So
hopefully he gets your hustle. But the problem is he's growing up this, dude, he's a rich kid in the valley.
Yeah. What do we do?
Is he going to have hustle? Does he have hustle at school? Does
I he hope not? He has. No, he's lazy.
He is, isn't he?
Oh, man, he's lazy.
Maybe you need some tough love.
It's hard, though. It's so hard.
Are you the tough love one?
Yeah.
I'm more the tough love than my wife. My wife's such a sucker. She's still... I woke up this morning with both kids in our bed. She and the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old, where I'm like, hey, they should sleep. She's like, I can't help it. They're so cute.
I'm a sucker for that, too. Yeah. Yeah, if it was up to me, my son would still be sleeping with me. 14, Dad. This is weird.
I give my wife shit, but honestly, it's like there is nothing better than a 2-year-old little girl going, hi, Daddy.
You're like, you want to cry, right?
I really cry. Yeah. I cry all the time now.
It's the best.
I'm such a sucker.
Yeah.
What's a trait you hope he doesn't get from you?
Oh, man.
I know, man. I know.
God, there's so many.
I know.
Pick and one. I hate to say it, I do get lazy.
Shut up. You can't, they can't be opposite. You can't say, I hope he gets my hustle, but I hope he doesn't get my laziness.
Yeah, no, because it is an extreme. I will hit a patch where it's just like, I'm like, I'm done. And I'll step back away and just not want to do it, which is fine. I'm allowed to do that.
No, you've allowed. Yeah, no, I do that way too often.
And, where I'm and, like, eh. And they get mad. Gemma gets mad. My manager gets mad. But then in my mind, I'm like, well, you're not the one that's on the road 24/7. You're not the one that's in a different airport every day.
Well, let's talk about that for 1 second, because honestly, dude, I don't know how you do it. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't even do that before I had the kids. Like, yeah. I mean, you were spending like 50 weeks a year on the road.
Yeah.
I saw you in the airport dragging your merges, oh, going yeah. for all these gigs, and then getting there. You do the morning radio, the morning press, all this bullshit. It's just it's a fucking grind.
It is, man. It hurts, too.
It hurts.
It physically hurts. Yes. People don't even understand it. And that's another thing about my mom, that she doesn't get it. She thinks I'm just going somewhere and having a grand old time. Yeah. She doesn't see the hustle. She doesn't know the mental, too.
It's fuck on physically,
stage. The physical is grinding,
yeah.
but the mental is like...
Because if you don't perform that joke with an honest, if you just go, well, I'll just go through the motions tonight.
Oh, they see it.
A mile away, yeah. they're like, they don't laugh.
But and then I'm also talking about, are my tickets sold out? I got to be funny this morning. I got to wake up. Oh, you know what I mean? I got to be funny now. I got to go to sleep. I got to perform. Like, that's all just mostly
that's
just wearing.
My biggest gripe with headlining was like featuring, you would go and just rocking
oh,
chair.
Oh, God.
I tell it.
I tell that to every kill feature it. I bring. I go, dude, you have the best
job.
Spot.
20 minutes. Just do your best material, walk off the stage,
and leave.
And that's it.
And you get it during prime time.
Prime
time. The drinks have already been dropped. You don't have to worry about check drop. You don't have to worry about the first drink order. No. You get to sit there right in the gap, bro.
That was my biggest. I didn't mind doing the shows were fun and great, but all of a sudden you'd peek out and you'd be like, did I sell tickets?
Yeah.
Is anyone here? It's the most painful thing.
Yep.
But it shows all your hustle was like, it all paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would be your mantra for this generation that you could pass along? You've said a bunch of them already, but if you had words of wisdom that maybe you got from your mother or your father or kind of something you live your life by.
Cliche would be dream, you know what I mean? And dream big. It's like, I really love to put it out there, and I tell Gemma all the time, I'm like, I'm gonna do that, and it's gonna happen. I will do whatever it takes to make that thing happen.
And you do it.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
Don't ever tell me no, because that's just gonna say. don't ever tell me
I
no,
think
man.
That's a better mantra. Don't ever tell
don't
me.
Ever
no,
tell
man.
Me no.
Don't
you
ever
tell me
tell
no,
me
and
no.
I guarantee I'll show you why you should have said yes.
Some people are like that and some people are not.
Yeah.
And I think stand-up has to do that because how many people have we known who've tried stand-up and go, I bombed? We all bombed.
We all bombed.
We all bombed.
Kidding me?
But every time I bombed, the same way with golf nowadays, if I have a shitty golf day, I can't wait to get back and try it again. So, yeah. I think the same way I've like done
that's
it.
That's how I am each hole.
I know. God damn that hole!
God, I'll get it on the next one.
dude, you're a rock star. I real quick, let's plug some stuff again. The special is on Netflix, Joe Coy Live from Seattle.
Yes, J-O-K-O-Y.
J-O-K-O-Y. Honestly, when you open up Netflix, I think it's in like the top few things that
oh,
are
that's
blowing
so cool.
up. Yeah, so it's cool. And Joe, he'll probably run into you and you'll give him a flyer, something or other.
Yeah, I'll give you a flyer.
Door-to-door? Door-to-door?
Yo, I still do my meet and greets. I don't care.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't care, man.
Definitely come see him live. You're all over the country, and people can find you joecoy.com.
Yes.
And they can come listen to The Coy Pond on the Adam Carolla Network.
Can you come on it now?
I would love to.
Promise?
Please. And in a heartbeat, yeah. I'll come with you today and Gemma. We're all going together. And trust me, I'll drive. I got a Honda Odyssey.
Yes!
You can all sit in the back.
That is
got
the tinted
windows.
Car for life.
No one's going to know who
you're
in
there. What should I do?
Andy, you're going to be in the trunk. My producer, as always, Mr. Andy Lerner. My guest today,
thank
Mr.
You.
Joe Coy. Thank you so much for
thank
coming
you,
to do
Jamie.
It. And we'll catch you guys next time on Father Time.